Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
I read the story from Elaine Keown in the Star this morning that was kind of deeply upsetting about a young man called Paul Dayton, who's he's 31, and he was taking pictures, as he liked to do, of JCBs and tractors and so on in Fairview Park Wednesday evening, and he was attacked and beaten and ended up with 4 staples in his head and stitches and so on. Desperate, desperately sad story. His father, Damien, joins us on the line now. Hi, Damien.
Hey, Ryan.
Well, first of all, how's Paul?
Well, he's very upset, you know, and traumatised, you know?
Of course he is. Can you take us back to what happened on Wednesday night?
Well, we got a phone call. He slips out. He's very quiet, like a sandy man, you know. You slip out the door, you barely hear the door clicking shut, you know.
Yeah.
And trods off. And he usually stands at the corner, like. But this particular night, I didn't get a chance to tell him not to go anywhere, you know, leave it. Just stay local. Because he loves to travel on buses and darts. And that's his life, like. And film things, take pictures of tractors, you know, JCBs, and I didn't know there was JCBs in the park, you know, because there was one place I just warned them off, don't go near the park, stay out of the park, especially at night time and that, or evening, and he'd say, well, I won't die, you know, stick to where you know, and off he'd go, and he went off, and I didn't know he'd gone there, because what attracted him was JCBs, they're doing the job down there at the minute,
yeah,
down near the footbridge, you know. And that's where he was. And the next thing, we got a call at 7:30 to say he had been attacked. And he was in the chemist in Fairview.
Yeah.
Hostlers were looking after him, you know.
Because
this lady, corny lady, had picked him up on the Malahide Road. Saw him gushing blood. And brought him around to the chemist. And of course he had his phone, so they were able to phone us. And I tried to go, I got my jacket on to go down, but I couldn't do it because I suffered emphysema and I was having problems with my breathing. So my wife went down with a neighbour, you know,
yeah,
to pick him up.
Yeah.
So we picked him up and got him home. And he said it happened to him on him, which it didn't, because he was lying to me because he knew I didn't want him near the Fairview Park, you know.
Yeah.
So he just said he just couldn't think too much because it was only at the happening and couldn't get much information. So my daughter came down from Balbriggan. And they brought him to the guards to give them a statement and tell them what happened, and then straight to the hospital. And he was in the hospital then that night from 9:15 until 6:20 the next morning.
Yeah.
Or 5:20, to go home, but he's a little after 6 in the morning. So it was a long time for him. He was very traumatised there because he wondered when they were going to look at him and so on. But they're busy, as you know, A&E, and got him home anyway, but we got to them, then it was on the radio and we got all the full information what happened, you know.
And what did you hear about what had happened?
Well, he was hunted down by five lads, I don't know where they came from, who they were or what, on bikes, minding his own business at the tractors, photographing pictures, you know, on his phone. Because he gets them printed off then and puts them in an album, you know. And they hunted him down. Literally, like an animal. Corralling him and everything, and 3 times he fell, and 3 times he kicked him, he'd get up, he'd run. And they threatened him. Threatened to burn him. Took a lawyer out and all, threatened to strip him, rape him. Set for him, that's when he said, oh, gee. And he got out, waving him, and ran. They tripped him and he fell and banged his head. He got across the footbridge to the other side. They still went to follow him. Roaring and jeering at him from the far side of the main drag, like, you know. You know, that's a fairly wide road.
Yeah.
Fairview.
Yeah.
And he just kept running then, and then got confused, and that this girl picks all the blood. His clothes are ruined and everything from it, you know. It was horrendous. Now, I was really shocked. Never knew there could be that kind of... Well, I did from listening to other stories, you know. And I think this is disgraceful. It just has to stop. Something will have to be done. I know it's hard, but something has to be done to stop this thuggery and savagery, you know.
And out came the phones, the cameras.
Yeah. Like, my daughter put it up on Facebook just to see could people help, witnesses wise, you know, yeah. And we couldn't believe how it's gone, you know. It's just unreal. It's just gone viral, you know. And I mean, I'm not one for Facebook, but it has its good and bad points, you know.
Yeah,
but this is one of the good points. If it helps get the culprits, I'll be happy. You know?
Tell me about Paul, Damien. You've described, he sounds really innocent. I mean,
he's quite a simple man.
Yeah.
Keeps to himself, can't read, can't write. But I'm amazed at how he gets around, to be honest with you. Now, he has his phone, we contact him, find out where he is, what he's doing.
Yeah.
Always. And he loves his laptop. Things like that, simple things, you know.
And was he ever diagnosed with anything in particular?
No, he's not categorised. We have two sons that way, you know.
Have you?
My eldest fella's the same, yeah. Special needs, yeah. And they're not in a category yet. Like, say, Down syndrome or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
No, they're not categorised. They look normal, but they're not.
Yeah.
They look as normal as you and me, but when you meet them, and you can tell, you know, straight away, but it takes a few minutes, you know.
But Paul obviously has his things that he likes to do. And one of them is to take pictures of JCBs and tractors and then get them printed off.
That's
and then
right.
This probably gives him comfort. It's like it's his thing. And then he puts them in the album and he probably has a load of albums that probably drive you mad half the time. But that's his thing.
So they're overflowing into the house, if you know what I mean, on shelves. You find them everywhere. No, but that's what he does.
That's
you know?
His thing.
Yeah, that's all he knows, you know. And everybody knows him. Everybody. Bus drivers. He goes off, he has a friend on the buses that he goes with him, he's ringing with so-and-so. And I'm up in Coolock now at the minute, right, and I'll be back down shortly. Or he could go across city with him, you know. And he just sits there, loves travelling, you know. Gets his motivation from all that, you know.
There's a piece in the paper this morning, Damien, reminding people of a guy called Guido Nazzi, who was 17 years old, and he was hit with a bottle of beer over the head there in the very same park.
That's what I'm talking about. That was always my fear, and was a terrible, sad case.
And he was left paralysed from the neck down.
Yes. Now, lucky enough, Paul, ours could have been a tragedy. It's not.
No.
He's able, he's still walking, but he's traumatised now, you know, literally. He doesn't understand what's happened to him. He keeps asking, why? Why would people do this to me, you know? And I just fear that it doesn't set him back. Be bad enough without that, you know.
Yeah, it'll take him a while probably.
I would say he'll have to have counselling and everything. You know?
Yeah, he probably will. I mean, I'm looking at the picture of the bandages on his head and literally the blood has drenched his his T-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a disgusting, despicable, horrible thing. And that's what I was trying to say earlier on. If any of us could imagine a brother, you know, who isn't fully, you know, doesn't have his full senses like everyone else, unfortunately, and to be wandering around doing something as innocent, taking pictures, and then and these guys are like a pack of dogs, actually. They're like a pack of dogs looking for something to eat.
Yeah. And these guys are disgusting, you know.
And these guys need to be taken off the streets and dealt with.
Yeah. Like, I talk about anybody, it's just any child, any person, old person, doesn't matter. This shouldn't be happening, you know. And I know it's hard to try and get this thing stopped. It has to be stamped. Somebody has to, government, somebody has to put it, make things harder for these people, you know.
Yeah, and I know the Lord Mayor has been out strong on this.
Christy, and appreciated.
Yeah.
And we're appreciating all the calls, we're getting all the help, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, vulnerable people like Paul should not have to be in the papers today for reasons like this, and you shouldn't have to put up with the bush.
No, shouldn't, no.
But look, you're good to talk to us, and we appreciate that. And will you please pass on our best to Paul?
I will indeed, and thanks very much, Ryan.
No, would you stop? If there's anything we can do, you know, people who might have seen something, they can be of some help, maybe.
This is it,
walking in the park the other night, Wednesday night, saw anything.
Clontarf, that's all you need. Contact them.
Yeah.
They're helping us very, very good. We're meeting them this morning, actually.
Okay. Well, good luck with all of that.
At the scene, you know.
Yeah, I hope that goes well for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully there's some justice, but I wish you well and the family. Look after yourselves, and especially Paul, and we hope you're doing okay this weekend.
Thanks very much.
It's nice to talk to you, Damien.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Look after yourself.
Bye-bye.